Welcome to Timebender Talks, the ultimate destination for professional photographers. This weekly podcast is hosted by Peggy MacArthur, a certified professional photographer with over 30 years' experience and the creator of the Headshot Strategist Certification Program. Peggy interviews a diverse range of experts in business, branding, marketing, networking, and photography. So whether you've been doing this for years or you're just starting out, we've got you covered. Oh, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on our latest episodes filled with tips, insights, and lots of fun.
Yay! I am so excited to be here with my new friend, Erica. We are going to have a lot of fun. Erica, tell us who you are and where you are on your journey.
Hi, I'm Erica. I'm a portrait photographer based out of Austin, Texas. I specialize in illustrative portraits, but really I am for anybody who wants more than average.
More than average. I like that. I absolutely like that. I've always said, like, I'm not everyone's photographer. But I like that, more than average. Like, you can get a photographer anywhere, but now I've seen some of your art. It's art. Like, it's fabulous. I love, it's very creative and very, it's not just your average, the family portrait, right? It's not just your average, like, oh, I want to get portraits taken. So I like that. So tell me when you decided that photography was your passion.
Oh, let's see. Okay, I can tell you when other people figured out that I had like this niche for doing it. So when I was about 6 years old, we lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we had this basement that we dug out, right? And so my mom and my aunt, we would drive in, they'd get out, and they were like, get out the car, and you have to walk up these steep steps, right? So they get on their fancy shoes, and they're like, oh, we're cute, we're going to go out. And they're like, we need a photo taken. He's like, there's no one here around to take our photo. And I said, I'll do it. She's like, she can't do that. She can't take a photo of me. So I was like, no, I can. My aunt was like, hey, no, let her do it. So I took the photo, right? And, you know, this is film, just to tell you right. How old I am, right? Just taking it out. You know, they were looking for their fancy selves because, you know, they're like, oh, yay. They're like, oh, this is a good picture of us. We should blow this up and put it up. Who took this photo? And I was like, I took it. And they're like, no, my mom's like, no way. Yeah, my aunt's like, Ruby, there was nobody else around. Of course she took the photo. So yeah, well, that's when other people kind of realized that. I kind of figured out shortly after that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So for me, I was young, not quite that young. I was 9 when I got my first camera, but I was always fascinated by photographs and mainly portraits. I've always, like, that's my thing. I love photographing people. I mean, I can photograph butterflies and flowers and landscapes, but not that good. Because I don't spend time on that. Like, it doesn't, like, light my fire, you know? It doesn't, like, make me passionate. So when did you decide, like, hey, A, clearly I'm a born natural photographer, and B, I love it. So when did it become your, like, hey, I could make this my career. I could, like, make a living off of this. When did that kind of happen?
Well, I always did it, right? So in high school, I took photography, would enter the contest, and I would win, you know? And then I decided, okay, I'm going to go to college. And I actually went to school to make movies. That was my original major, was a film major within the art department, not the communications. Big difference. And I was minoring in photography. When I transferred schools, unfortunately, the photo program was in communications. So I just stuck with photography, and you couldn't minor. So I have an undeclared minor in metals, in graphic design, and film. So, but after I graduated, I would work. I had a regular, what you said, like a corporate job, but there's a point where I realized nothing is going to pay me more than what I went to school for, and it was time to go.
Absolutely. So how long did that take you to figure that out?
Oh, I figured that out. Okay, figured out and executing it are two separate things, right? I figured it out a couple years into the corporate job that I hated, okay? But I actually quit that job after I got married because I already had a kid. And, you know, when you have a kid, you need that constant insurance, and you don't have that when you're just freelancing. And so I waited. I waited till I got married, and then I was like, deuces.
I don't need your insurance. I'm out.
That's right.
I'm not college educated. I never ever thought of doing anything but photography. So I've been I've never had a corporate job. Like, I laugh about it because I'm like, I see these people that like hate their job, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like,
you're like, there's other options. Go.
There's other options. Like, now, was I always like in a good position? Did I live in my car for 6 months? Did those things? Yeah, those are all true as well. And I say all the time, you know, the first 15 years of my photography business, I just happened to be lucky and was running a very profitable hobby because I knew nothing about business. Nothing.
You know, I tell people that, like, people will find out, oh, you majored in photography. My niece wants to do that. And I go, stop. Tell her don't. The secret is to major in business, minor in photography.
It's what I tell everyone. Everyone. Because if you don't understand the business side of photography business, you could be the most talented, the most amazing photographer in the world, but nobody but you and your five friends are going to know about it. Because it's a business. You have to know marketing. You have to stay out of jail. You have to like do your taxes and stuff. Like,
that's right. That's
you like got to have insurance. It blows. G and I were talking the other day about photographers that don't have insurance. And I was like, seriously, like who would do that? Like, that doesn't even, I can't even comprehend walking out of the house with a camera and not having insurance, because the day and age we live in, somebody can sue you just for the heck of it. And if you don't have insurance, like,
yep.
What if they fall? What if a light, what if they trip? What if they hate your work, or what if they just want to sue you for the fun of it? Like, there are all of those things are real what ifs.
That's right. Like,
you're running a business, and in that business you do, like, you and I were portrait photographers. I now specialize in headshots, but I was a portrait photographer for decades. And you have to really understand that. You have to really be able to do that. So why do you think it's important for photographers to know how to effectively communicate their dreams, their visions, and what they are about as a company in order to have a thriving photography business?
Oh, I think it's because it's difficult for us because we're so visual, you know, that's why we're in the field that we're in. But to verbally communicate and get this message out, not just through like an image. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, that whole image is worth 1,000 words, which is why, like, my photographs, I can take one picture and it's like tell the whole story. And I tell people, you don't need 1,000 photos, you only need that one. But it's still communicating the message of value, communicating what the customer's getting, communicating the process. All that is verbal. And since we are so visual, I find it to be difficult for a lot of photographers.
I always say that a photo is worth 1,000 words, and 1,000 words are also worth 1,000 words.
That's a good one. I need that on a shirt now.
Yeah. And now I know this about you. You will have it on a shirt next time I
yes,
see you.
That's right.
Yeah, that's awesome. But, you know, seriously, I used to laugh because I used to never touch video. Like I was always, you know, film and still photos is my thing. And I would always laugh at people that did video and be like, oh, you need that many frames per second to tell your story. I can do it in one frame, like little cocky. Now I actually do some filmmaking, so I always have to eat my own words. I always laugh to myself because I know, like, I was like, all in fun and jest, but I was very cocky about like, oh, I can tell my story in one image, but whatever.
You know that 20 minutes of video is what? No, it's 2 hours of shooting. You takes 1 minute of actual footage.
And I could do all that in just the one. But you know, we do communicate through our images, but we also need to be clear about our business, what our business stands for, who we're trying to reach, because we're not going to reach our clients if, you know, I always laugh. Because when I see photographers advertising, and I used to do this, that's why it's funny, because I totally get the mindset. They'll like have a whole website of nothing but images, or they'll put out a flyer and it has nothing but images on it. And you're like, oh, cool.
What are you selling?
Next, like, what am I supposed to do? There's no communicating. Hey, call me and book an appointment with me. Hey, I do this. And this is why, you know, because people may think your work is beautiful and they'll just go on to the next. Like, you have to communicate what those people are supposed to do with those emotions they're feeling about your images.
Well, you know what? I think that comes from being like in the art field, right? So since you're an artist, the whole thing is like, well, look at my art. Tell me what you see in this. Tell me how you feel. It's all about like approval, you know, and you want people to like the art, right? You know, but it's just a different like mindset, and you in the whole like broad marketing, right? The target person, you are not trying to get everybody to like your stuff. You want that person that likes it to come to you and purchase it. But since we're so wrapped up in the whole art field of wanting people to like our stuff, everyone to like, we want to be the artist that everyone enjoys. You want everybody to feel those happy, lovely thoughts, you know, when they look at our art. That it's kind of difficult, I think, for people to navigate at times.
Yeah. And I think that's the difference of being an artist and running a photography business. You're always the artist, but you also have to understand that a business is out there to reach people and, you know, tell them, because the average person, they don't see what you and I see. When they look at an image, they're like, okay, nice. They love their images because of the experience that we created for them, because they had such an amazing experience getting those portraits taken. That's the majority of why they love those portraits, is because it reminds them of what a great time and how wonderful they felt and how pretty they felt and how, you know, all of the things. And we do that with our art, but it's not the end result is the smallest part of it. And so even when we're marketing our business, we have to convey those emotions, like, to allow them to be like, oh, I want to have that experience. We want them to want our images, but the old saying, sell them what they want and give them what they need. You've got to sell them what they want, and they want that experience. What they need is a great image, and that's what we're actually going to give them. But we have to communicate to them the amazing experience that they want. They're going to feel so good, and they're going to look so good, and oh, you know, all those warm things.
Yeah.
And I think, so for you, like in your business, how do you communicate that to people?
So for me, first off, let me say it is, I agree. It's about creating that emotional connection. The client gets an emotional connection to these images. And if they are getting it through that experience, then they're just sold. It's done, right? Done deal. I actually have a lot of people get an emotional connection to images that aren't theirs that I make. So one of my number one questions I get is, who is that? Who's this person? Because I used to shoot for ASCAP. I would shoot music artists, and I've shot some famous people, you know, here and there. And people assume that, oh, this must be somebody important. I'm like, no, this is a client, just somebody up the street. And so what I have to communicate to the people who are looking at it is they see it and they want to inquire. So they get that connection. They just don't realize that that could be them, mm-hmm. that this was really just someone across the town, or just they go to work just like you. They, you know, make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you know, it doesn't matter. But that's been the thing that I really have to communicate, that these are just average people, nothing spectacular. We're all the same, you know. And actually, it's funny because my ideal job, if I could do any kind of photography, I've always said, and I did a rare show, and this was my thesis for the show too, an art show, was I would love to shoot famous people as regular people, showing them do day-to-day things, getting up in the morning, brushing their teeth, like everything that we do, they do. But I like taking regular people and making them into famous people so that when people look at these images, they ask, who is that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, this person must be a famous person. Obviously, I only have connects to so many. So this side's a little easier to do than shoot famous people as regular people. But yeah, that's what I have to communicate, is that, hey, you can do this. There's no difference between you and Beyonce.
Yeah, exactly. And they get up and put their pants on, they brush their teeth, they go to the bathroom, they wash their face, like all the things. Like, they have good days, they have bad days, they're happy, they're sad, they're mad, they're frustrated, yeah. All the things that we experience, you know, people experience. For me, I've always, like, my portfolio on my website, I've always tried to put like regular people in. Like, I'm not about photographing what society calls pretty people. I love the people that are not necessarily the standard of beauty in our society. I like finding the beauty in, you know, the people that don't look, you know, with that traditional beauty, and making them, like, show them their beauty. And I feel like, to me, that was always my way of communicating, like, everyone is beautiful and you too can look beautiful. Like, you don't have to, you know, have this, you know, aesthetically perfect, you know, dimensional face. You can, like, be beautiful as who you are, and really communicating that people are beautiful. Like, my husband laughs at me because when I see like a super quirky looking person, I'm like, I want to photograph them. I want to photograph them. It's like, what is it with you? And I'm like, it's just like that baby that you, and you know, I'm going to get pushback for saying this in public, but you know, that baby that is so ugly, it's cute. Some people don't outgrow that stage. Like, some people just so ugly, they're like fascinating to me. Like, I find that beauty, like, just the, you know, just, they're just humans, you know. I find that, anyway, it's a weird quirk I have. I know, it's weird.
Oh, I love it.
So you've had the opportunity to photograph a lot of musicians and different things, and I know you, I like the, what you said, like, that would be fun to like do a like documentary kind of like making them look regular and making regular people look like stars. But aside from that, like, can you share some of your like favorite experiences or some experiences that, you know, you would have never walked into if it weren't for that camera in your hand? Because there are so many things I have done and people I've got to meet that, like, it's just because of the camera in my hand. I know that. So what stories can you tell us?
I can tell you one that people cannot believe that I did. I would say being on stage shooting the Pitbull show was cool. I got to shoot him. He's a lot smaller than what you think, by the way. But this is the one. So I was shooting this concert for a local artist was opening for Snoop Dogg. And it was at the Austin Music Hall, which is, I think they might still have it. It was a very big known venue. And we were backstage. I had all the pit access and the stage access. And I did the guy's show that I was shooting. And then Snoop Dogg comes on. And I could have stayed and shot all his stuff. And I left the concert. And my friends were like, are you kidding me? What is wrong with you? And I was like, I know I shoot music artists, but I hate concerts.
That's hilarious.
So that's a story that people are like, you've got to be kidding me. I was like, yeah, I stayed for like a minute or two. And I was like, yeah, there's a lot of people. I got to go. Bye.
That is funny. That is funny. So this has nothing to do with the podcast. It has nothing to do with anything except for, because you said Snoop Dogg, I just want to throw this out here. This is how you know that there is like multiverses and alternative time frames. Because when I say, you know, I just saw my grandson last weekend and I was like listening to Snoop Dogg, you know, music with my 9-month-old grandbaby, and you feel that that's normal, then that means that you are not raised the same timeline I was raised in. And you think Snoop Dogg having kids' music, you know, albums out is just absolutely normal. That is proof that you weren't raised in the same.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I don't think I would have left the concert. I'm just saying. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I think that, you know, I have gotten so many opportunities to meet so many amazing people and just like talk to so many cool people just because I was, you know, I had that camera in my hand. Yep. One of my favorite stories is when New Kids on the Block, which I don't listen to, when they got their star on Hollywood Walk of Fame, I had been doing some work for Maury Starr, which is the producer and creator of New Kids on the Block and all the other boy bands in the 80s and 90s. Anyway, and so he was like, hey, I need you to do this. So I got to get up in the morning. I stayed at the hotel, got up in the morning and was like with them all day in the green room and, you know, back behind the scenes. I was the only photographer allowed behind the red cord while they were getting this. And I grew up in the middle of nowhere in Kansas. Okay. And I had, midday, like after they had already gotten their star, we were kind of at the after party. My phone was buzzing and it was a kid that I grew up with in high school and was like, she was like, were you at the star thing? And I was like, yeah. She's like, you're all over Twitter. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, all like, everybody's like, who's that photographer? Like, how would she get back there? Who is this? And I thought it was funny that even in Kansas, like, so that was my like, but the cool part of that day was I was standing in the green room, just minding my own business. And I looked to my side and Arsenio Hall is standing like right next to me. And you know how it is, you try not to fangirl out on people when you're working. And I was like, can I get a selfie with you? And I pull out my cell phone. And he's like, no, no, no. And he grabs my hand and like, he's like, we'll find someone to take a picture of us with your camera. So we took off. But I thought that was so funny. It's just like the random weird things that just happen when you have a camera in your hand and you're in those places.
I like the fact that you got a selfie with your camera. The only time that's ever happened was with Akon at South by Southwest, because my friend's brother, who's a videographer, was there too. So I was actually able to give my camera to somebody who knew how to work it. Otherwise, it's always like, oh, look at this blurry photo.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm scrambling to put everything on automatic. I'm like, woo. You're like, set everything. Just push the button. It's going to be fine. Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty funny. And I was like so fangirl, like the cheesiest smile. Like it's actually a bit embarrassing to go back and look at those pictures, but I have that memory. It was good. But yeah, I've just had so many amazing opportunities because I chose to do this. And, you know, I pushed through those times when I wasn't making money and I didn't understand business. And, you know, I kept going. And I think that's the thing is, you know, if you choose to have a career in something that you're passionate about, you need to just keep going and get around people that like will help you with the business stuff, get involved with other photographers. That's why I'm so passionate about like community. Cause I grew up really didn't have a lot of photographers around me. And so I really think that's key to success.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So what is your one last tip that you want all of our listeners to know?
Oh, tip. I don't know. It's
photographers that are out there, like, you know, out there in the grime of it all. What would your tip be?
I'd say learn marketing and business. That whole rule of you shoot, what is it, like 20%? I mean, honestly, you could probably lower that down to 15 of the time. It's so much time spent getting the business, running the business. And the shooting's the fun part. Like, that's the whole reason you get into it. So if you're going to do the work of marketing, of running it, make sure you book gigs that you want to do so that when you get to the fun part, it's the fun part. Don't waste your time doing stuff that you don't like.
100%. 100%. 100%. I laughed because when I was in middle school, my dad got our first home PC, you know, because it's a really big deal. Like, not everybody had those. And he was like, you're going to learn DOS. And for you kids listening that have no idea what DOS is, go Google it on your phone. it's like, you're so I was like, no, Dad, I'm going to be a photographer. I will never use a computer. Said those words out of my mouth. Now I guarantee I'm on the computer way more than I'm behind the camera.
Yeah.
But yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, but you know what? When you're really good, it only takes, 5 minutes to get this done. It's all about the setup and knowing what needs to get done, right?
Yep.
Celebrities exactly. Only spend 5-10 minutes. Like, when you go in that room, you only have a couple minutes with them. So yeah. It's all the prep prior, all the knowledge, all that.
All the practicing, all the learning, all the getting good, you know. When I was a kid, I saw this thing. I was obsessed with basketball when I was a kid. All 5'4" of me was obsessed with basketball as a kid. But somebody was like, you know, if you want it, you've got to like sleep with that basketball. You have to like, you know, eat, sleep, and drink basketball. And so that's what I was with my camera. Like, I literally, like, I had that camera on me. I was working on my craft like day and night. And that's, you kind of have to have that. Like, you can't just shoot when you have a client. You have to be out there working on your craft and getting good at what you do. So when you do have the opportunity for the client, you're like, you're ready. You're like, yeah. Not stumbling around going, oh, what do I do here?
Yep.
You know, you're ready to handle all the situations.
And it gives you a signature look, you know.
Exactly.
You start to develop that look that people see it and go, oh, I know who shot that.
Exactly. I agree. Thank you so much for hanging out with me, Erica.
Thanks.
This has been fun.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. So in the description, I'm going to have Erica's website because you all should check out her work. She is amazing. So anyway, and if you're in the Austin area, check her out. All right. Well, thanks, guys. I will see you next week. And thank you again, Erica.
Thanks. Bye.